It's your lucky day.
How so?
The future of sports radio.
Yes! Yeah! Victory!
Now, here's Notch.
Okay, you probably don't know me. You will.
Breathing right away. I know I've been doing a lot of talking about the NBA draft, but if I have to choose one of the two winners, sports hockey is mine. I do tend to play favorites. It's time to focus on hockey now. The NHL draft is today, and a lot of other things going on with the National Hockey League, including some events. The latest developments in Phoenix might have the team out of there by this week. And with me right now is John Barr. He has a website called NHL2Seattle.com. John, thanks for coming on with me. How you doing?
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
So please tell me they're going to bring the Seattle Metropolitan's name back.
That's definitely the favorite of the locals here. I'm trying to stay away from that, from even thinking about names, because that is it's kind of getting the cart before the horse, and this is no done deal. But Metropolitans definitely are popular here. And then another name, I don't know if you've heard this name, called the Totems, which was another pro team that played here. And I think we have a junior, I think it's Junior A or Junior B played a Totems team, so the Seattle Totems. So that's another one that gets a lot of airtime.
Well, I know they have the Thunderbirds there in the Western Hockey League.
Yeah, and we have the Silver Tips. And the interesting thing about that that people don't realize is the Seattle Thunderbirds actually play in a town called Kent, which is about 30 miles south of downtown Seattle. And the Silver Tips play 30 miles north. And kind of when you combine those two hockey markets, you know, they draw pretty well for the WHL, about 5,000 to 6,000 a night. So we've got kind of these spread out kind of hockey culture. So it's pretty cool to see. And the Everett Silvertips really thrive and put on a great show. And it's a pride of Everett right now.
Hopefully they'd hang a 1917 Stanley Cup banner also if the team came back. Do you know that little piece of trivia?
Oh yes, oh yes. And
first U.S. team to win the Stanley Cup.
That's correct. And you know, a lot of people want to hang that banner right away if we call it the Metropolitans. It's kind of funny. I don't know who has the naming rights or whatever, but I think that'd be pretty cool, though.
They're probably dead by now, the people with the naming rights. They should be up for grabs.
Or the rights have kind of expired. So yeah, that would be. They've got some interesting jerseys. Your listeners should definitely look up Seattle Metropolitan's jerseys. You'd get a kick out of them.
Your website, NHL2Seattle.com. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's kind of a project I kind of put together about 18 to 20 months ago, just to get news and information out to people and kind of educate people on the market and what kind of opportunity Seattle is for the NHL. It was right around the same time we got a lot of movement around. I'm sure you've heard a lot about the Kings moving here.
Yeah.
And being renamed the Sonics because of a heavy investor that's originally from Seattle. And so then there was a lot of talk about NHL as well. And so I've been advocating this that Seattle would be a great NHL market for a long time to anybody who would listen, you know, good 7-8 years. And then it's kind of just putting all my thoughts down onto the site, and that's kind of helped me track. It's tracked kind of the progress of the Sonics arena movement, which then and is also leading us into today with the potential to actually land the Phoenix Coyotes.
It's funny. I lived in Seattle for 7 years, and back then, a lot of the talk was Portland's new arena, the Rose Garden. The Islanders were maybe going to move there. And then the Penguins, when they did their bankruptcy thing, I think for the second time, they were talking about that the Penguins were going to go to Portland. And that, I think, almost happened before Mario Lemieux's group bought the Penguins. But it's probably a good thing for Seattle that there's no team in Portland right now, huh?
That's probably true. And I think the Bill Gallagher, I think he's out of Calgary, oil tycoon, was talking about bringing a team to Portland even recently. And they talked about the Coyotes a bit, but he doesn't. Right now, they don't really have the support of Paul Allen, who owns the Rose Garden and the Blazers, and therefore it probably wouldn't work without the support of Paul Allen.
Now, when I live there, I know there's a lot of hockey fans there. All my friends, pretty much, are hockey fans. The problem is, it's a transplant town. There's a lot of people that have their own teams that they like. When I moved to Seattle, I had my own team. What's your favorite team right now?
That's an excellent point. My team is the San Jose Sharks, and a big Danny Heatley fan, by the way, and Setoguchi fan. But, you know, I would have to pretty much change loyalties right away, and I think that's going to be awkward for a lot of people. And a lot of the locals really root for the Canucks. When the Canucks are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, TV does really, really well here for a non-NHL market. So I think people are going to be torn what to do, you know, because a lot of my friends and maybe the people you knew when you lived here that you still know that live here, they go up to Vancouver several times a year to go catch games.
Well, that's the closest NHL really action by far.
Yeah.
That's the closest.
Yeah. And the second highest, it's second or third highest ticket in the NHL.
Seattle's similar to Phoenix with that demographic, the transplant fans, the fans that have their own teams, you know, the kind of fans that buy tickets to the games when their team's playing in town, but you're not sure if they're going to buy season tickets, if they're going to commit long-term to the team that would be there. Is that a concern with a Seattle team coming in? Is there the kind of excitement there for hockey that would generate season ticket sales?
Well, I can't tell you how many people have told me they would like to buy season tickets and where's the season ticket list and whatnot. Now, probably similar to you, I hang around a lot of hockey people. I play hockey. I watch hockey. So my friends naturally will be drawn to hockey. So it's not exactly a great sample size. But I think the difference between Phoenix and Seattle or the potential there, and I really don't want to knock Phoenix, but I'm convinced if the arena in Phoenix was downtown Phoenix, we wouldn't be in this mess today.
That it's a Glendale issue?
Yeah, and Glendale just being so far out. Now, I just think that makes it extremely, extremely difficult for people, especially midweek, to get to games. And the proposal, at least for the what we're calling the Soto Arena, which is right near where the Mariners play Safeco and where the Seahawks play Quest Field. It's right there, kind of right on the cusp of downtown, and very dense and very central located. So I think it provides, you know, I don't think there's a concern to kind of turn into another Phoenix, if you will, but I also think there's a lot of people that will come out of the woodwork once they figure out what this hockey thing's all about. I think in the Key Arena, which they estimate is about 11,000 people, 11 to 13,000 people, which is tiny. The league knows that. We know that. It could draw really well with the passionate hockey fans and then get the product on TV, and all of a sudden you get people captivated on what hockey is all about. I grew up in Oakland, California, without hockey. I didn't start watching hockey until really I was in college. And that, once I kind of experienced a playoff run, you know, just following a couple, like I remember watching Gilmore and Gretzky in 93. It's like following those guys, it was just something I've never felt before, and I'm a big sports fan. And I think you can captivate the local sports fan that don't even know what hockey's all about here. And I think there's so much potential for that, it's going to succeed, and it's going to really do well. And another factor is, I don't know if you call it the Seattle Sounders, the soccer team.
They're pretty big. I think they have the highest attendance in MLS.
Yeah, they double the league average in attendance. It is nuts here. And there's something about the loyalty we have to our teams here. And I'm a transplant, so I don't want to take credit for that. But there's something about it. And I'm not trying to say, oh, we're the best sports fans in the nation. It's just, there is something here about the loyalty. I mean, people were adamant about watching Mariners when I first moved here, and I think that was when they lost like 90 to 100 games in a season, but they're still watching it in September, which is nuts to me, right? Growing up in Oakland, and yeah, I watched the A's, but I just never saw that kind of passion in that area.
Now, the arena that they were talking about, Chris Hansen's group that was planning on building the arena for the Sonics, NHL was mentioned, but it was more of an afterthought. Because it was even built into the deal that the arena financing would take place when an NBA team was secured. Since the Kings are staying in Sacramento, they'd have to rework that deal for an NHL team, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Now, you know, originally when the news first broke that the mayor and Chris Hansen were working on an opportunity for an arena, it was talked about NHL and NBA franchise, and at one time they talked about the city would need to, like, essentially need to get commitments from both franchises. But realistically, that can't happen. I mean, it's very rare that teams move. Therefore, how can you coordinate two moves in the same, you know, of $100-200 million assets, you know, within a couple years of each other? So the MOU does structure a deal where once the NBA team is procured, they can start building. Now, Hanson owns all the land where the arena will be developed. And so he already has a vested interest and financial ties to this, not to mention all the legwork he's already done. But he is open to an NHL team coming first. And he's even said in interviews that that's a possibility if that NHL team owner wants to take on some of the risk that essentially he was going to take on. That doesn't mean transferring the land, and that's really a deal that they would need to work out. But he is obviously open to it, and he's the one that actually introduced the ownership group from Connecticut to the mayor of Seattle. So obviously they've been talking and working, and I believe that they have a working relationship or even an agreement in place that they could definitely move forward and be partners in this thing.
John Barr, NHL2Seattle.com. Could happen this week. It's, as Ron Burgundy would say, kind of escalated quickly. These new guys, these owners that I heard about, I think, last week. Tell us about the ownership group that might bring a team to Seattle. Do they have any local ties?
They don't have many local ties, and certainly that's what people are looking for. They're pretty quiet, pretty off the radar, but the wife of one of the Ray Bartoszek, she is actually from Bellingham, which okay. is about 60 miles north of Seattle. And so she's got ties. The Holdings Group actually has an investment in one of the biotech companies in the area. So there's some loose ties, but nothing solid. I just think it's a good opportunity. And we haven't heard much from them, so you don't know if there's any local owners that are tied to that as well. But the general feeling is, they're pretty quiet, but they're hockey people. They're in Connecticut or lived in New York and definitely eager to see it work in the area.
I thought I read that one of the gentlemen was a minority owner of the Yankees, so at least they're familiar with running a sports franchise. Being part of that.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think he wanted to be an owner of the Mets, but that didn't go through based on some details that he wanted in the agreement.
A lucky man.
Yeah.
Get on a different kind of Mets.
That's right. Maybe he's just destined to be a Mets owner.
You mentioned the TV ratings before. I did find something rather peculiar. I was kind of perturbed by it, actually. If there's one thing where I think if there's one place where I think Phoenix has the advantage over Seattle, it is the TV ratings for hockey. Because if you look at the Stanley Cup Final TV ratings, Phoenix was in the top third of NHL markets for the TV ratings for the series. But the NBC affiliate in Seattle, King 5, they kind of handed off almost every one of the games they could have shown to their sister station instead. That doesn't really scream hockey hotbed to me when they're passing off games onto Kong 16. Like game one, the triple overtime game they did, and I know game six they did too.
So that's true, and I never was able to dig into why they did that. The one thing people don't always realize is that we actually get CBC in Seattle, and the hardcore hockey fans.
I'd watch CBC's coverage over NBC any day, personally.
Right, and that's what happens. Now, I took a unscientific poll, and about 70% of people watched on CBC over NBC. So I think that's, I don't want to say, oh, that's the excuse, because I don't necessarily have any data, and I haven't been able to find any data that says how many people watched it on CBC. But that's certainly a concern, but I think it's kind of back to that local thing. Is that once you get people with a local team, then they'll start watching. And that should, carry over into playoffs even when their team's not playing.
Is the Tacoma Dome an option for hosting games, especially like some of the bigger games? Because I know that has worked in the past. The Tampa Bay Lightning, before they got the Tampa Bay Times Forum in downtown Tampa, they used to play at what's now Tropicana Field. And they set attendance records. That worked for them, and that was about the same distance from downtown Tampa that Tacoma is from downtown Seattle. Have they ever thought about using the Tacoma Dome?
There's been talk of that, but they apparently have removed their ice system.
Oh.
So it's not really an option. The other thing, and you probably know, is a midweek game in Tacoma would be brutal for traffic.
Seattle traffic's brutal anyway.
Yeah, but at least the downtown, the Key Arena is like a mile and a half from Amazon's new campus. There's all the big office buildings down there, so it's very dense. Where I work in a town called Redmond, which is about 12-13 miles, and that can be particularly tough on traffic. But at the same time, there's some busing options that kind of make it a little easier.
You ever run any Seahawk players there? Because I know that's where they hold a training camp. Their practice facilities are in Redmond.
They're actually in Renton.
Renton?
Redmond. Yeah.
I thought it was Redmond.
No, they've moved them. I think they moved them south to Renton.
That's
definitely where the big structure is. So it's only 5-6 miles down the road.
Well, it's close to South Center Mall, so at least they got that going for them.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Something that's interesting, Kansas City has a brand-new arena called the Sprint Center. Spectacular, state-of-the-art, brand-new arena. Built with the express purpose of getting a pro basketball or pro hockey team, but they're not getting involved in this whole Coyotes thing. Saw his Twitter feed, actually. Citizens, when they heard about the Coyotes might be moving, were talking to him about them coming to Kansas City, and he said the city couldn't afford the amount that would have to subsidize the team. He was saying they'd need about $20 million a year to subsidize the team if they moved to Kansas City, and that's too much for Kansas City to handle. And the deal right now with Glendale would require about $15 million per year of a subsidy. And those are with full-size arenas already in place. Now, if the Coyotes have to spend at least 3 years at Key Arena, which is, according to your website, you say either 11,000 or 13,000 seats, what kind of subsidy would there have to be for the new ownership group for a Seattle team playing in that small of an arena until they can get the new one built?
They will have to pay rent, so there is no subsidy. It's going actually the opposite way. The NBA team was supposed to pay $2 million if they used it as a temporary facility, and an NHL team would be $750,000 a year. But that could be based on a dual-tenant system, so they might, I can imagine that the NHL team might need to pay a little bit more. But so there is no subsidy.
That is kind of bizarre. Other cities being asked to kick in money for operating expenses, but Seattle wouldn't have to do that?
Well, it really comes down to the owner. You know, the $15 million subsidy in Glendale is a request from the owner. And it's probably based on looking at market and what they can expect to charge on tickets, raise in arena revenue, and kind of say, okay, well, my break even is about $15 million.
But right now, the owner of the team is the league. So wouldn't you think the league would step in to make sure that the team was financially viable if they were going to move to Seattle, and that might involve at some point? You're saying right now that they wouldn't have to pay to help with the operating expenses, but you think they might renegotiate that a little bit down the road?
Well, I think you have a point, but I think there's other metrics that kind of point to Seattle being a more viable market than, no disrespect to Glendale or Kansas City, but it's probably a better market with some of the key drivers. You know, one thing is we have tons of corporations that are headquartered here, whether it be Boeing, Nordstrom, Starbucks, although that's a bad word in Seattle, Microsoft, Amazon. You know, there's plenty of these companies that could help essentially fund the $15 million, if you will, in advertising dollars, whether it be at the rink or naming of the arena. And then you also have I don't know the comparable metrics to Glendale and Kansas City, but per capita income is a lot higher in Seattle, which is actually right at the demographic with the NHL. So I know it varies market by market, but for the most part, the average NHL fan makes a lot more than the average household income.
All right, so the vote in Glendale is this Tuesday, July 2nd. And Gary Bettman has pretty much come out and said if they can't work this out, then he's fairly confident the Coyotes aren't going to be playing in Phoenix anymore, that they were going to immediately seek a remedy for the team, the backup plans. Well, I guess my point is, what is the timetable for the people in Seattle from July 2nd moving forward, assuming we're talking about this whole Seattle Metropolitans thing, which sounds great on paper, but is there enough time, would there be enough time to create the new identity for the franchise if they move? Because you're talking about a three and a half month window. Otherwise, you could be looking at a Seattle Coyotes scenario for 1 year.
I don't know the specifics, to be perfectly honest. Now, I think they're going to have to stick with the Coyotes for 1 year at least, while they figure out the naming convention. And you know, that's something they, you know, if Metropolitans is really on the table, they probably need to do some back-checking to make sure they have the rights to do that. So I expect them to, if, and it's a big if, they move, I would expect them to be the Seattle Coyotes for 1 year.
Normally they have to do a 1 year advance thing before a logo change or a uniform design, redesign. So that's what makes these last spur-of-the-moment franchise relocations the summer before the season starts really weird. It gives off a kind of Tennessee Oilers vibe to it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Winnipeg, I believe the Winnipeg, now granted that they were going to the Winnipeg that already had a probable team name, but when Atlanta moved, I think they changed it within a couple months, so it could happen.
NHL2Seattle.com. John Barr, he's put a lot of work into it. Some detailed information about finances, attendance. Probably going to be updated pretty soon. Breaking news happening this week. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun little side project I do, and a lot of people tend to like it, so I kind of post it up, and it's enjoyable to me.
All right. You going to watch the draft today?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to kind of keep an eye on the Coyotes, but I'm going to be watching for Seattle Thunderbirds and Everett Silvertips. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and really kind of focus in on the Coyotes, but you can imagine I will be watching.
Well, Seth Jones, Portland Winterhawk, I know he's going to be taken really high. I was looking at a few mock drafts also this morning. A couple of players from Everett and Seattle. Projected late first round guys. Maybe this Everett defenseman who paired with Ryan Murray last year, who was the second overall pick for Columbus. He could be taken in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, I know there's a couple long shots for the T-Birds, but at the same time, it's an exciting time for those boys, and we support them here, so it'd be nice to see them make it to the next level.
I don't know if you heard the news just happened last night or this morning. The Coyote Politans signed Mike Smith to an extension.
I did see that. Now, if you believe what you read online, he technically has a house in Vancouver. So, Seattle, I honestly think he's okay with either scenario, assuming there's only two scenarios. And so that's probably what made him settle down.
John Barr, NHL2Seattle.com. Check out his website. John, appreciate the time. Have a great day.
Thanks, Will. You too.